Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
We know you missed us. The Training Camp podcast is back, just like the Patriots, who are on the football field here in Foxborough for the first time in about a week, just returning from Philadelphia. Guys, Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart here to recap today's solo practice, and was the only one this week because the Tampa Bay Bucs will be in town starting tomorrow. And guys, I think it was naturally a bit of a letdown today after very high-spirited practices with the Philadelphia Eagles and probably similar environment we're going to see over the next few days. Today, not so much. It wasn't really a day for big plays or things that got the blood boiling other than the heat outside. But what did you guys think of today's practice?
Yeah, I thought bland was the word. Not a ton of huge plays, and that's what happens when you're in shells and shorts and don't have the contact and coming off contact last week mm-hmm. for basically the whole week, including the right. preseason opener, and knowing that more contact is coming with the Bucs coming to town. This was sort of sandwiched in between all of that, and Bill said, they were looking to clean some things up, basically coming off the preseason opener. There were some flashes. I thought Daniel Fells was on the receiving end of a lot of passes from Tom Brady, some of them big, smooth-type routes down the seam where he made it look just so easy. But other than that, a few notes in terms of who's back and things of that nature, but just kind of a lackluster day if you were a fan out there, I think.
Yeah, because even with a lot of the players back and the personnel that had been missing, most of those people didn't really do anything.
Right,
they were back in body only, not necessarily on the field. So, guys like Dowling and Dennard, McCoy's still in the red jersey, still participating, but a lot of the other guys, Jenkins, another one, as Eric said, not really doing much, doing a lot of rehab work. The offensive line back again, but still not doing much. Mm-hmm. Conley, although Haslam was out there a little bit, Kevin Haslam, he's a guy that maybe he gets back in the mix at guard.
He spent some time on the bike.
Yeah,
so not quite full.
Tyrone Green, same thing. So, even the quote-unquote news of the day was sort of subdued because mm-hmm. they were back, but not really back.
Right. And there was a transaction made earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. Rookie tight end Brandon Ford, who was at the first joint practice with the Eagles last week and then not seen for the rest of the week, was released. No reason given. I would assume he might have gotten injured in that practice and, was just past the point of being able to do anything productive. They signed a journeyman cornerback, Laquan Lewis, who has been with myriad teams around the league in 2 years or so in the NFL. And my first thought was, all right, this doesn't bode well for the cornerback depth situation with the injuries to Dowling and to Dennard last week. But then, as we said, both of those guys were at least on the practice field in uniform, sort of. So what do you make of this? The move? Was it just to fill a roster spot?
Basically, if you want to read into it, I think you maybe could read into maybe they feel a little better about Ballard and they consider him more of a healthy, beyond a dozen reps. Maybe he's going to build on that coming this week. Hooman showed the ability to go basically wire to wire the other night. They have those guys with Sudfeld and Fells, Hooman and Ballard. You have four guys that are experienced. Maybe they feel good about that. Beyond that, who knows?
They needed a corner, though. The other night you talked about Hooman going wire to wire and those guys, but Logan Ryan, Justin Green, Brandon Jones, those guys played a lot of snaps. Ryan played almost the entire game. I think he played 80-some-odd snaps, according to some of the people that tracked that sort of thing. So they needed some depth, and I would be surprised if Dowling and Dennard got heavily involved in this week as well. As Andy said, the physical practices that are to come.
Well, especially Dowling, after missing significant time here and just throw him to the Wolves in a highly competitive environment. Although, I'd like to see him out there because, theoretically, this would be a good week for him with some bigger outside receivers that maybe he could show
Vincent Jackson
why they wanted him on this team and what he could do in an ideal situation. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think health-wise you can just throw him out there kind of to the Wolves, to the Bucks.
Couple of lingering notes, some injuries from the game the other day. Ryan Mallett, who was taken out of the game prematurely because of what looked like, was reported to be a head injury.
Correct.
And then
announced by the team
as a head injury. Afterward in the locker room, he staunchly disputed that, saying it was merely just getting hit in the chest and that he was lobbying to go back in. He was out at practice today, took part in everything, was very
full
active.
Go.
So it was, yeah, completely full go. Wasn't limited in any way by that. Any other notes for, since the practice wasn't all that, you know, exciting?
Well, I did have a fun drill I enjoyed today. The old version of, what do they call it, the whatever in the ring. They usually, it's somebody getting hit. Well, this is for the quarterbacks where they had, you know, I think six receivers, maybe seven receivers in a big circle,
yes.
And one of the quarterbacks would work on their footwork, mm-hmm. rotating, mm-hmm. till somebody yelled and he had to find that guy and throw to it. They went both directions, and not surprisingly, when Tebow did it, it didn't look the same as when Mal and Brady did it.
You do find a way to work that in. For me, a couple things. Early on in the practice, I thought interesting, three receiver sets. They started off with Josh Boyce on the outside. I hadn't really seen him mm-hmm. Much out there. He was with Kenbrell Tompkins and Amendola in the slot with Jake Ballard and Zach Sudfeld. Daniel Fells actually was the first group today. Big smooth, as Andy said earlier. He had a nice practice. Amendola continues to look very good out there with Brady. The rest of them, you know, it's still, you know, you can see positives and you can see some struggles too. I think that I bring up the receivers because I think that we're sort of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit with how good those three rookies have. I think the three rookies have been solid, but not quite as spectacular as maybe we're portraying them. And I just kind of wanted to, you know, throw that out there, maybe pump the brakes a little bit, as people like to say that I say all the time. But it really is true. I think that these guys are coming along. I thought Boyce did some nice things today. Dobson was a little bit quiet today. I don't think that means anything in terms of, you know, he's been demoted or anything like that. I think it might have been something. Boyce has been primarily in the slot, and I think they maybe wanted to get him some work on the outside. That's
on,
it.
On defense, I think he continues what has been a fairly hot summer. Aqib Talib made a few plays today in, you know, what we said, obviously non-contact, but as plays on the ball, was in the right position, knocking them down, knocking them out of bounds, almost coming up with an interception. He's playing very well this camp overall, I think.
Except when he goes up against DeSean Jackson, basically. And he talked about that today, and I want to give him credit today. He didn't go with the Bill Belichick that, you know, that was just great execution by the offense, you know, some basically giving him a pass. He didn't take the pass. He said, DeSean Jackson ran by me. It was a good throw. Yep. I couldn't catch up, and it was a touchdown.
Yeah,
that's basically what
good for him, because that's what happened.
He didn't take a pass.
And
he did admit, and I gave him sort of the one little out of, the Amendola-Jackson matchups aren't necessarily the ideal matchups, not what we saw necessarily last year from him when it was more Johnson and Bolden, the bigger guys. And he admitted he's trying to challenge himself with some of those quicker guys to work on those that aren't necessarily in his ballpark.
And we saw Boyce do that today.
Yep.
Boyce, same kind of thing as Amendola, ran right by him on a deep ball that was overthrown, but he was well behind Talib on the play. And Andy and I talked about that. Again, not his strength, but
and
you understand
you won't
why
see in the regular season,
I don't think you'll see him asked to be put in that kind of a spot.
Right.
Certainly not one-on-one with a guy like DeSean Jackson.
And
on the outside.
The reason I wanted to bring him up, too, was because that play in the game, the touchdown, was an aberration from what we had seen all week in practice. He had matched up very, very well against Jackson all week in practice.
Now I have no idea what happened in practice.
There were conflicting
reports.
There were a couple of plays that Jackson made, but not big plays. Like, he had a few catches, but as far as the big plays downfield, it was mostly Talib shutting down Jackson to the point where the quarterback stopped throwing to Jackson when Talib was on him each of the 3 days that they worked together.
Yeah,
and then the one play in the game, though, was obviously the barn
when
burn.
The lights were on.
Right. But
that what he said?
No.
Oh.
That's what I said. But he's had a good
talking in that voice then.
Well, because that's what he would say.
Yeah, that's how he would say it. Yeah.
He's had a good summer, you know, and that's a good sign because around him, there's a lot of other moving pieces with, you know, we saw McCourty at corner again today, and he's still in the red jersey.
Yep.
So I don't know how long it's going to go before we see him in game action.
Probably
and actually
September.
Hitting people. And, you know, where exactly you're going to see Gregory, where exactly you're going to see Wilson. Marquise Cole was the slot guy today in most of their nickel packages with Arrington on the outside. I mean, there are a lot of moving pieces in the secondary, and that's a lot easier to do if you have one guy you can kind of count on like Talib.
Yep. And if you want to look at another silver lining to that, you're getting early in camp reps for guys at different positions so that in the regular season, if that eventuality happens, it's not like you can, you know, you don't know where to turn.
Sure.
You at least have some sort of a paradigm to work with that, you know, hey, this
and
guy has done it.
Too.
Yeah.
And Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan says he continues to feel more. Vince Wilfork just walked by and gave us a nice little wave. He was doing WEEI in the next studio. But, you know, Logan Ryan talks about he feels like he's gotten better. You know, we've been somewhat critical of him. He feels a lot more comfortable. He feels like he's competing now as opposed to trying to learn, which he says was obviously what he was spending the first few weeks doing, learning.
Mm-hmm. And that, and it showed.
And he got a lot of reps the other night. He certainly isn't missing reps in terms of game speed.
No.
He went almost wire to wire.
He needed it.
He'll build off that. I think that's a good thing.
That was one of Bill's messages before practice, talking about the rookies. Big week for the rookies, big couple of weeks, because now pretty much the installation is done.
Right.
And it's a matter of seeing what these guys can do, if they can build off that experience.
And it is going to be a big week for us, too, because we got another team coming into town tomorrow. Afternoon practice.
What's the other team's coach's name?
Well, he pronounces it Greg Schiano. It's incorrect. It's Schiano, for those of us who speak fluent Italian. And I'll correct him on that when I see him again this week, like I did last year when I went down to Tampa. But anyway, the Bucks will be coming into town afternoon practice.
He could, too.
A little bit earlier than it has been, but not really much of a difference. Teeth. Still roughly the 2 o'clock range. So for fans, it's open to the public. Your last chance these last couple of days.
And best chance.
And it's best
another
chance.
Team. Competitive.
Right. It's going to be very competitive, very exciting. Get down to Foxborough. If you can't, though, Paul, Andy, and I will be here to recap it for you 24 hours from now. We'll see you then.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.